Thank you, Ken. And welcome, Cheryl. Anybody that's listening on the radio and those of you here in the room with me. At the end of Barb's sharing while she was reading from Robert Adams, I often close my eyes as you're reading from the book, Barb, and what I'm listening to feels like such a sacred sharing, and it resonates in a way that feels very palpable with me. And so oftentimes when the sharing comes to an end, I notice a reluctance to opening my eyes and, you know, kind of dropping back into reading from what I'm going to share, even though that also becomes, as Regina described it earlier today, that awareness on the go, where you're engaged, where I will be engaged in a reading from a book, in this case from Michael Langford, Experience Your Perfect Soul. And while reading, being centered in that holy instant that Carl spoke of, being centered in that surrender that I heard Karen Worth start with in this morning's meditation on our lesson, The Holy Spirit Speaks Through Me Today. And she spoke of a resolute dedication, surrendering, equivalent to surrendering to being the receiver of whatever it is that is to be shared, and having that intention, that devotion, a resolute devotion. I will accept my part in God's plan for salvation. I will turn within each time I notice a resistance to surrender. I will listen rather than speak. I will be open rather than seemingly already knowing the answer to the closed-minded question that the ego poses under the disguise of, I'm curious to know, I'm curious to know what the answer to this question is, all the while having a hidden agenda, satisfying what it already wants. And so in one of our tips this week, we were asked to do a practice where we looked at a hidden perception or a very obvious perception. And we, the previous day, were Adyashanti style, asked to write down everything we seemed to know about that perception. Everything the mind already seems to have some intellectual knowledge about, some idea about, some belief about, some fixed, closed perception about. And right to the edge of everything we know about it, and then stay at that boundary, asking maybe some of those Ramana Maharshi questions that Carl shared with us, you know, what would you have me know about this perception beyond this list that I've made? And to just sit at that boundary line unguardedly. And I heard Barb share in her own practice about devotion to prayer. And I wanted to share with Barb, just in case she didn't know, that Rebecca Gibson just started on Monday evenings for a half an hour speaking to prayer. Her main topic is prayer. And so if you have any interest in Looking into Prayer with Rebecca Gibson. She's doing that on Monday evenings. I believe it's my time, Pacific time, at 5 o'clock, which would be 8 o'clock Eastern time. And if I'm mistaken about that, please correct me. And what I'm noticing in all of those threads, starting with this morning's opening of the sanctuary with Karen Wirth and our meditation, all the way through Barb's sharing, I've been listening, and it just becomes so apparent to me the connection between everyone's sharing, the common threads that tie it all together so beautifully for me. And I feel grateful to all of you, all of you. So thank you for that. Okay, I'm going to drop right in. I'm opening my eyes, and I'm going to drop right into Experience Your Perfect Soul. We've been, we're about half. Thank you for being on top of that. My ongoing problem with the new Pal Talk is the mic drops, and so sometimes I'm unaware of that, and I appreciate you letting me know. Again, we've been sharing in Chapter 5, which is Eva Bell Werber, and the following quotes by Eva Bell Werber are from the book called The Voice of the Master. And these are direct path quotes that were selected by Michael Langford. So I will be beginning. I'm going to go back just one page to 139, halfway down, to, I feel inclined to reread, Listen to the Voice Within, because certainly that is a resolve, just like Karen Wirth spoke to this morning. I resolve to be that voice, and I can be that voice by listening to that voice. So this is, again, called Listen to the Voice Within. You have but to turn within in love and adoration, for there I wait. There I have always been. It is within that you shall come to find that the sweetness you have missed has always been there, has always been waiting for you to take it. And I apologize if you guys can hear some banging in the background. I have a neighbor that's working on something in his backyard. I hope you can't hear it too loudly. Sounds like an automatic nail gun, but I could be wrong about that. My love, let me shut this off too while I'm at it. Okay. My love is freely given, and I wait patiently for you to come and receive. My strength is there for you to come and use. Why depend on human strength or understanding when within your own being is that which is perfect, which has always been a part of you, and has had no beginning and shall have no ending. Pause. Listen to the voice within. Then go forth to walk in sweet communion, doing the tasks that lie so close at hand, doing them with the strength and joy of the Almighty. Then shall these tasks that await you, that await your doing, be easily and happily done. Walk with me and have the glory of the Holy Presence shine all about you, or walk alone and be amid confusion and at the mercy of the winds of circumstances and conditions. Choice A or choice B, from the most direct means to eternal bliss. This is just another way of saying, you know, walk with the Christ mind, or walk with the ego mind, mortal confusion. One more time. Walk with me and have the glory of the Holy Presence shine all about you. Or walk alone and be amid confusion and at the mercy of the winds of circumstances and conditions. And at least for me, clearly, there has been presence of body sensations that point very clearly to tension, constriction, tightening, tenseness, anxiety, having that bodily experience, noticing that the presence of that pain in my eye, the chronicness of a physical manifestation, and having an awareness of that experience while it's going on without denying that it's going on, and turning full attention, which certainly the little self, the habituated mind, the woe is me mind wants to milk the story for its own preservation. And when I acknowledge that and ask, you know, just in a logical way, a practical way, a sensible way, a right reasoned way, you know, what is that about? Why would you waste any time turning to that as if it is Any is that a source of joy? Is that a source of happiness? Is that are you deriving? What are you deriving from that, and why would you desire that? Why would your resoluteness rest there? Why? You know, when any inquiry is done around that, sometimes I laugh, even in conversations with family around, you know, doing things like taking care of your body, you know, just in practical ways, everyday life, exercising, you know, all that kind of stuff. Sometimes I laugh and say, you know, I think it's almost bizarre how much attention is placed there when the reality of the existence itself, if looked at clearly with the focus fully on form, you know, the mind-body belief, the illusion, is pretty miserable, or miserable a lot of the times. It's like, why are we trying so bloody hard to keep that going? You know, eating organic food and, you know, abstaining and, you know, whatever form that might take in the world. It's like, why? And then you're living this like miserable existence. And not seeing the irony of it. You know? It's like, what the hell? And so, certainly for me, as awareness is on the fly or on the go or in the soup, but not in the soup. Looking at it, if I'm looking at it, if I'm noticing it, there seems to be at least some attention on what is before those appearances, before those experiences. That's the devotion for me. Devoted to staying there, not losing that quiet space that is more restful, more empty, does not believe or have any beliefs, knows it is not the pain, is not the body, is not the expression, is not the experience, is not anything external at all. And at least for me, devoting time, and I'm just going to say to its proper use. And that commitment is what leads away from the confusion, away from that notion that I'm at the mercy of the winds of circumstances and conditions, and which I just shared were my own, you know, personal present. I notice those things, you know, without complete belief that those things and that those experiences and that body and these thoughts are mine, or, you know, who I am, or have anything to do with the truth of me. The focus is more on the truth of me, while all the other pile-ons are still happening. So this next piece is called Completeness, and I'm going to take a quick drink before I read this. Are you with me? Completeness. as eternity is without beginning and without ending, so am I, the one within you. All knowledge is within. All love, all truth, all richness. Why do men live and dwell in darkness when by turning inward in a moment of stillness, and there's that reference to the holy instant that Carl Lammers spoke to this morning, turning inward in a moment of stillness, they can find waiting for their use the glory of a life complete and a course of love. Recently, in our reading, in A Course of Love, it refers to that as the already accomplished or the accomplished. That's that thank you. You know, yourself deserves your attention. Yourself deserves your love. And that's what this beseeching is all about. Don't neglect yourself, because that time is time you spend alone with your true self, which is the one self. The most powerful self, the self of safety, the self of joy, the self of love, the self that is the answer, the only answer. So again, so often I have besought you never to neglect these few moments alone with me. Never substitute for this quiet time another form of worship, no matter how worthy the form. I have so much that I can give in no other way. In no other way. And that goes back to, again, those questions that already have the answers. I'm going to do it my way. Not the way that here he is, plain and simply asking us to do, just spend a few quiet moments with me, going within, asking those questions from the teachings of Inner Ramana, for instance. What would you have me see that I cannot see? What would you have me say? A Course in Miracles, where would you have me go? What would you have me do? What am I to do now? Asking, asking, asking quietly, and then waiting. As Adyashanti says, at the boundary. The borderline. Or Regina described it as the bridge. You're on the bridge. You're using a practice, still within perception, but helpful, pointing toward absolute truth, but resting in awareness, looking inward. And that is, we're being told here, don't substitute this quiet time, this devotion to, or this resolute practice that says, I above all else, I want to know in direct experience my true self. And in order to access that, I must be willing to sit in quiet. No matter what I think I can do, other than that, you know, engage in, the ego might say, well, if you do enough good works in the world, if you give enough money to charitable causes, if you, I mean, all there's a zillion ways that all the preservation strategies, whether they appear to be benevolent and helpful, they're still existing in an external way with an emphasis outside of ourselves on a world full of problems, and their ego preservation strategies. Not that we won't be guided or asked possibly to work in those ways, but they are clearly not the worthiness that is being spoken about in this way. That worthiness is that same worthiness that is accomplished already. It has nothing to do with a busy doing, ultimately. So again, never substitute for this quiet time another form of worship, no matter how worthy the form. I have so much that I can give in no other way. Know me in the sweetness of utter bliss. Then my voice can come to be heard amid the uproar of a mighty city, as well as in the quiet of the mountaintop at night. The uproar of a mighty city, or the quiet of a mountaintop at night. And that same voice that you know, our lesson speaks to today, the voice that says, the Holy Spirit speaks through me today. And the Holy Spirit, as Regina has pointed out, can also be understood as awareness. Awareness speaks through me today. And as my attention is directed resolutely towards that empty, quiet voice, Holy Spirit awareness, and this practice is practiced, that voice will be heard no matter what's going on, no matter how loud the voices in the mind are, or how quiet the mind is. The same foundation, the same silence, the same emptiness, the same truth, the same self. No, not that notion of two awarenesses, awareness aware of another awareness. It's one awareness. Everything seemingly existing within that. It is existence itself, life itself. That knowing, that bliss. Real rest always coming from within. So at any rate, rest. Let me again grab a quick drink. My husband brought me some wonderful tea from China. So that was a fun experience to receive a gift that was actually a very brand new experience. The tea came in a wheel, maybe like half an inch thick, and bound together very tightly and wrapped in like paper. And so you break off a piece of it and steep it in hot water, and it's a very nice tea. So that was sweet. I appreciated that. And it's been a gift of the world from a whole different part of the world, but a gift nonetheless. So rest. Need there always be words between us? Oh, God, yes. Need there always be words between us? Oh, I so feel that sometimes. Oh, my goodness. It resonates. That resonates within me. The call to silence is sometimes so very strong in my days. And even as those of you in the room who shared today prior to me were using words and reading from books that have words, sharing from your own contemplation, sharing from your own listening to the voice within, those words are when my eyes are closed and I am sensing within truth, I so appreciate those words and for those words. Yet ultimately, I think what's being spoken of here, referring more to chatter, where Regina was, I think last week, sharing about three different kinds of thought. Chatter thought, which is, you know, clearly just a lot of ego talk. And practical thought that uses the mind, thought that uses the mind for practical purposes. And then spiritual thought, that thought which is inspired thought, or again, that willingness to be that vehicle through which spiritual wisdom flows. And then there is emptiness before thought, silence, quiet. And even before that is the absolute, which I won't say anything past about that. So this rest, this question, feels like it's speaking to, oh, here we go. I'll just read on because it's right there. Need there always be words between us? The world is full of chatter. So there you go. Right away. My mind hadn't alighted, my eyes had not alighted on that piece of it yet. And there it is. Can we not come just quietly together? You, brought only by a sense of need for comfort and stillness amid the tumult of life's activity. And I, feeling the desire to pour my great love and tenderness out to one of my beloved. And I, like I said, I experienced that in my days. Where I simply stop whatever it is I'm doing, even if it's you know, a mundane activity like vacuuming, for instance, or you know, some sense of a chore, and I'm watching my thoughts and notice a prompt to just be still for a holy instant, just be still, quiet, or to stop altogether and maybe take a half an hour to listen to the a loving consciousness meditation in the afternoon after I've done maybe a morning meditation, and being more willing to do that, just following that prompt rather than the busyness that often ensues, especially, you know, this calls it, here it is, the tumult of life's activity. It's not uncommon at all. And as we find ourselves, you know, rolling towards the holiday season, noticing that even in awareness more acutely, and resolving to turn within, turn within, turn within, and resting in that, we experience what right here is called my great love and tenderness. And why would we not want that experience amid the tumult of life's activity? Tenderness. I mean, the word tenderness is just such a beautiful word to me. It just has such a wonderful sense to it. It's just so sweet and like the full attention of a mother to a child, or that tenderness when, you know, for me, that sense of nursing a child and that child looking straight away directly into your eyes, and just that sense of connection and oneness, that love that is Thank you so much, Cheryl, for keeping me on that. And again, here we go. And so we meet in the sweet stillness, and you feel the warmth of me enfolding you. And the things which mattered so greatly a few moments ago seem far away and of little consequence. Here, there is only stillness and sweetness and rest. Then, with a smile upon your lips, you arise and go again about the daily tasks. No word has been spoken by either. Yet, you are so filled with the presence that all your being is aglow, and life begins anew while you sing its harmonies throughout the commonplace duties of the day. Be still. Know that only the personal self of you can get in the way, and keep the plan of your life from being fulfilled. And that's that same, you know, I know mind, that self that asks a question to which it already knows the answer, doesn't really want to know in a very purely curious way, that boundaried edge that has a willingness to sit vigilantly in silence, waiting. Again, it's saying, Don't listen to that, the plan of your life fulfilled as you think it should go. Put down that personal self with its fears, its beliefs, and its opinions. These things are dreams, shadows upon the wall. My beloved, it is so easy to step back from the consciousness of my presence into the world manifest about you. And you know why? You know, I'm just going to go back to that previous page because it's a tumult of activity. And those activities we choose. They're part of, you know, that seeming idea of multiple choices. I have multiple choices I can make throughout a day. Where is my devotion? What am I devoted to? Oh, gosh. So again, if we literally wrote down what we do in a week's time, we can see what we're devoted to. And we're simply being asked, you know, to look at that in a self-honest way. Be brutally honest with ourselves. And if we, you know, don't want to turn more attention towards the self within, and we want instead to keep our attention focused on the tumult of life's activities, we can rest assured we are asking for suffering. Period. That's the personal self. That's the ego that wants to preserve itself at all cost. That's the self that says, here, turn to me. I'll help you fulfill every goal that you have. That's the self that fears, if I place complete trust in this, you know, unknown self, this unfamiliar self, this self that doesn't seem as warm and fuzzy as what I presently am experiencing, or know, or has opinions about, or feels somewhat comfortable with, those dreams, those shadows, that self. And that's a really busy self. It takes great vigilance and great willingness to look. So again, my beloved, it is so easy to step back from the consciousness of my presence into the world manifest about you. So hopefully we're going to anchor in that presence. You come to me and we sit and talk quietly of life, its beauty, its abundance, all its fullness of glory. A sweetness steals into your heart, a feeling of joy as if a tender bird had lighted there with its song. But when you arise and go about the round of daily living, things of the outer come in, and confusion is there in abundance. Everywhere, you see so much that is unlike the things of which we spoke together. You begin to wonder why and how. You, beloved, must learn to carry with you from the holy spot of our meeting. It's not Holy Spirit, but Holy Spot, S-P-O-T, the holy spot of our meeting, like the holy instant of our meeting. So again, you, beloved, must learn to carry with you from the holy spot of our meeting that which will sustain you through the conflict you will meet on every hand. So truly know that I am there with you. Feel the sweetness of my presence, no matter how the storms rage about you. That was the end of that particular piece called Rest. And what I'm noticing from that reading was that juxtaposition that clearly, you know, in the words, the tumult of life's activity and the, you know, sense that that brings within myself. I just took a deep breath. There's such a heaviness around the madness of that that position, that conflicted mindset, when attention is focused solely on external manifestations. And as Barb spoke to earlier, in our political system, at least in my, this is an opinion, from my direct experience, the chaos and the madness seems to be at such a frenzy pitch beyond which I've never experienced before, in an outward looking way. And so I am having to practice within that bubble, up my own bubble. That's my own bubble, by the way. My own opinions, judgments, feelings, experiences. That's my own bubble, which is a closed, constricted, anxiety-ridden position, which is part of this picture, this manifestation, that rage, that storm. Within that is also the sweetness of presence. And I can't be present with that presence if my attention is focused on the outward picture and wanting to see someone else or something else or the world or anything external to myself as the problem. It's never the problem. The problem is where my attention is focused. And when I redirect that attention through whatever means works for you or works for me, I strengthen what I experience. And that experience is talked about here as sweetness, as opposed to raging. It's not conflicted. It's a light, a lighted, like a bird, a tender bird, singing a sweet song to you? It's a glow and not feeling dark and depressing. You know, we say, how will I know? That's how you know. We know. And we're assured, I am there with you. I am there with you. And this last, I'm not going to read this last piece. It's already 11:27. Sometimes I go over for just a minute. And so it's actually like a page and a half long, maybe 2 pages long. And I know, what do you think, Becky, if you're listening? I know Reverend Becky has a, was talking about possibly losing her voice earlier. So it may be that she doesn't mind if I go over a couple of minutes, because this is called Contact the Power, and that's what we're talking about here. Okay, Reverend Becky says, I'm okay. You do what you need to do. I can talk for a bit, but you go over. Okay, then I'll just finish with Contact the Power. Okay, when but for us, and maybe I'll just read through it today and possibly reread it again next week, sitting with it again. So I'll see how it goes. When but for a second's time, there's that holy instant again, you come into full, complete consciousness that there is within you a holy power, and knowingly make contact with that power. It shall be as the releasing of a mighty dam. It shall cause the living waters of my love to flow over you. Then will spring into beauty the glorious flowers of spirit. You shall walk your way in freedom. For all barriers that bind you shall be washed away. I'll read that last sentence one more time. You shall have strength that endures throughout all time, for the mighty river of my power shall be flooding your very being. Guard the portals of your lips. And the very thoughts that enter your mind, take heed of. For your words and thoughts are vested with power. Keep every impulse of your heart pure, so that words, thoughts, and impulses may be blessed by me as they bring forth after their kind. It is only as you try to function alone that the way becomes a weary way. Then it is that the life spark seems to have died and the physical becomes heavy and weary with its own weight, and the hours seem filled with this, that, of no great importance. Oh, my beloved one, why waste the day I have given you? Why use the little personal physical strength that can never suffice you for the duties of your day? How can I direct you unless you will hear me? You don't even stop to listen for my direction. And yet you complain and say, why all this struggle? Why is it all confusion and all unrest? Take your stand from this moment that no day shall dawn or no sun set without a few quiet moments alone with me, in order that your weakness may be given over for my strength. Even as the sands of the shore are beyond man's counting, so is the great divine love which shall be bestowed upon you beyond your measure. Thank you for letting me read that. I will give up the mic. It ended on midway on page 145, and we began on page, oh gosh, 139 to 145. Okay, guys, thanks for joining with me. I will earmark my page and release the mic and trust that the strength of the voice will come through Becky clearly. Amen.